You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director and actor Nicholas Carella. The good people at Paranormal Solutions Incorporated ain't afraid of no ghosts, or anything else. Directed by and starring Carella, the new web series Paranormal Solutions Inc. tells the story of a hapless but passionate team of semi-successful ghost hunters who are willing to believe in anything for the right price. In this one-on-one, we speak to Carella about the show's open beliefs and what it means to be a hopeful agnostic. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. And now you're just sucking up. I see the Jay's hat. Come on, man.
That's Listen, I'm ride or die. This is if I could go back in time, I think I would have probably pursued being a scout or something. I'm not good enough to play, but I would be a scout or something for sure.
Really? So you're a big fan then?
Oh, huge baseball fan, but Jays fan. Actually, funny enough, I used to wear all kinds of different hats, but then I went to go watch the Jays at Fenway in Boston. And I realized when I was at that game, not only at the game, but the entire city, nobody was wearing any hat but a Red Sox hat. And I thought to myself, I guess no hat shall touch my head besides Jay's hat for the rest of my life. So that's it.
I know it. I know what that's like. I saw them once play the Phillies in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
And not that makes it sound like World Series. No, just one. They were just in Philly. And it was so funny because the Phillies weren't great at that time either. But we were the only two rows wearing Jay's paraphernalia or whatever. We were the loudest ones in the place.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a cool experience, right? It was kind of neat to see your team on other soil.
It is actually one of my favorite things to do. Like going down to Seattle to watch them play, but also with my pal, my buddy Alex here in Toronto. We always do our best to get in, to see them in other parks. It's like, I don't know, there's something about fandom, right? And especially if you go to a place where, it's like gentle ribbing. You know, it's one thing, but like I've had some friends who have had some pretty negative experiences in terms of, mostly hockey, like in Vancouver, I had a couple of Leaf fans get beaten up like at the game.
Really?
And I was like, I didn't even think Canucks fans care about the Leafs. That's a very weird, very weird thing.
I've heard that the Leafs are hated everywhere outside Toronto and, it doesn't matter what arena they're playing in, and especially now that they've got the North Division, as well.
It's incredible. Actually, this North Division has been really interesting, except for the fact that I feel like it just kind of stinks that only one Canadian team can make it to the conference final. That's my thing. It's guaranteed one will, but also stinks. But anyway, okay, we can talk sports.
Oh, yeah. but let's talk about the series. I mean, it's a riot, honestly. I've absolutely loved it. I've been through the series now. Paranormal Solutions, it's just so much fun. I was wondering, where did you get the idea for the series? What is it that brought that out?
All right, so this came about, so I have to credit David Milchard, my co-creator, as like the person who kind of brought the idea forward. We had just worked on a film called After Party with series director Michelle Ouellette. She directed that movie, and that was a fully improvised film, just a bunch of friends doing the thing together. David and I really liked working together, and we were sort of, I had just come off a web series that I had done with Michelle as well called The True Heroines, which was nominated for Canadian Screen Award. He was doing a web series as well called Conversations with My Two-Year-Old, which was like this big viral hit. And we're like, we could combine forces and make this thing, right? Yeah. And so David kind of breached this idea with me about, or broached this idea, broached this idea about this idea he had for a show called Ghost Pals. Right, which was supposed to be like this really kind of goofy version of almost like a Scooby-Doo for grown-ups kind of idea, you know. But as we got talking about it, you know, I didn't want to just do another ghost show. We didn't want to do this thing, this whole idea of, you know, Ghostbusters was already a thing, all that stuff. So as we continued to develop the idea and then brought Michelle into the fold, we thought about how interesting it could be if, because I guess it was a joke that we had made about, like, well, what if they don't just believe in ghosts? What if they believe in everything? And started laughing so hard because what's everything, you know? And we thought that when we started laughing at our own idea, we thought maybe other people would laugh at it too. So that's really where it was born. So then where the idea started to come from was because David is like a complete non-believer. He's a complete cynic. I would say am a hopeful agnostic in all ways. So, you know, like, so we just really talked about how, what would happen if guys like us had to suddenly be faced with mythological beasts, how would we go about dealing with them, right? Like, so that's where the idea sort of built from. And it was important to us for things to be like plausible, right? It was like we wanted to be funny, we wanted to be goofy, but we were trying as hard as we can, even though things get silly and we push reality a little bit. The idea was that and this is again one of Michelle's influences. She's like, if we're gonna do special effects, we should probably be somewhat credible, right? If we're gonna do this kind of, you know, just so that we could not just be a goof, you know, something that, yeah,
those
kind of
things. Well, I mean, it works. And I mean, the whole cast has a great rapport with one another. It's actually really fun to watch them on screen. You guys are just a riot together. I was wondering, there's almost, you mentioned that the last film was improvisational. There's almost that vibe on set. I was wondering, like, was there a real collaboration with the cast on the stories, or was it just sort of, this is what it is on paper and let's go with it?
So it's a huge compliment every time someone says that it feels improvisational, because the show is fully scripted.
Okay.
However, we are all friends, everyone who worked on the show, like everyone from the full cast to all the guest stars to everyone, that we all know each other, and we're like a kind of a really nice tight knit community. So whenever we had ideas for characters, so we literally wrote for our lead cast. So we knew who they were and part of bring their personality to and we're like, that would be a funny line that Christina might say, or that would be something that like the idea of Dan Bacon being this wimpy camera guy. Like, Dan is notoriously like our wimpy friend, you know, like, yeah. This is just how that works, you know, this sort of situation. So I will definitely say that also with the cast report. So though we all know each other, I think, again, you know, I keep mentioning Michelle, but she, you know, she's a really good director, and she really was good about being like, okay, this is really their moment. Let's let them have their moment. She did a really good job of tempering the comedy, so we're not competing with one another all the time, you know. Like, I think we're also quite respectful about that too. But I mean, there are definitely, like, I've been rewatching the episodes myself, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely a line that, you know, Diana throws in, or that's Diana Bang, who plays Olivia, you know, like, she brought, like, I mean, her character wasn't written like that. Like, her character wasn't written flatly, you know. That's something that she brought to the part, and Michelle really enjoyed, so we went that way. So I would say that we definitely crafted the characters for the people playing them, and everyone just really ran with the material.
Yeah, I mean, the characters just feel pretty natural together, and you get that, yeah, on screen. And I love the aspect of the fact that I love the aspect of the series that, like you said, the whole thing begins, and they're like, what do you mean we believe in everything? It's like, and they're like, well, you know, everybody needs something. So we need to do that. And it's just it's just crazy. Like, you could do anything you want, any episode.
It's funny. It's sort of like doubly motivated by David for money in a weird way. We really thought it was a funny idea that if you're getting enough calls about other entities, that, like, if you're already a non-believer, then you might as well not believe in everything. Right? and accept all of those sort of, and so our caveat being that everything exists was our little twist. But so obviously the character Jared is interested in monetizing on all sorts of fears, but also from, you know, it's a little bit calculated from our side too, where it really makes the future seasons limitless. You know, like you can really do cases about anything. And that sort of really came up too when we started talking about paranormal. It was almost, you know, neither David or I have like a paranormal or horror background. And we were like, well, what's paranormal? We're like, are aliens considered paranormal? Is an exorcism paranormal? So we started going down that road. We started thinking to ourselves, like, it really does allow us to almost tell any type of story as well. Not just, even though the practically the monster of the week can be anything any week, still, it's like we can approach, you know, like one of the episodes I'm super proud of is episode 5, where we're actually talking a lot about politically correct culture, right? You know, right? And being able to actually, if we want to do a commentary about that, we can find a being that's appropriate for that subject matter as well. So it's a kind of like a dichotomy.
Yeah. There are those moments that really come out. I have to ask you a question that I don't even know you're going to know the answer to. So it's okay to say that. Do these things exist? And I don't mean the paranormal. I mean these organizations, like we keep seeing them show up for the last 30 years. And I know there's reality shows and that. Like, do you have any insight into whether or not these things go? Or how?
Oh, you mean like organizations like
Paranormal Solutions,
investigators?
Yeah.
Sorry, say that again. Yeah. So this is actually kind of like a double-edged question in that, do these societies really exist? Yes. Do these societies really believe in what they're looking for? This I can't answer. This is an interesting thing to me. Does a medium believe they're speaking to people on the other side? So some school of thinking would say that people are good cold readers and like fakers. Mm-hmm. Some school of thinking would say they're speaking to spirits. The other thing I want to know is, like, you know, there's probably an equal mix of people who actually believe they're speaking to those people as there are con artists, right? But there are definitely societies, and there are people that are career mediums. And I know that there is like the Vancouver Ghostbuster Society we couldn't get in touch with, but there are people, they are a group of people that will, for money, come and, you know, do surveillance at your place. So wow. It's an interesting question because, I mean, as I said, earlier in this conversation that I'm a hopeful agnostic. I don't mean that as a funny thing. Like, I'm the kind of person where I'm like, I would be so happy if I saw a ghost. If I saw a ghost, I would be thrilled because I'd be like, great. The curtain doesn't just close in my existence. You know, there's something else out there. I feel bad for this ghost that's like trapped between worlds and has to like walk around with chains or whatever, you know, trying to communicate. I feel bad for them, but it's also hope that for me, you know? So what do you think about it? Do you think they're real?
I honestly don't know. Like personally, I go back and forth. I mean, like in my other job, I'm a pastor, so I certainly believe in the spiritual and supernatural. I do.
Sure.
Do I believe in Slimer and the real Ghostbusters? probably not, but I mean, like, it's
why
like,
not?
Yeah, like, at this point, like, people have said to me, they're like, well, as a pastor, do you believe in aliens? I said, as a pastor, I have no reason not to, but I'm not going to sit here as a diehard and say they absolutely exist or... But people have said to me, they've asked me that same question. And I've said, honestly, like, it's not a threat to my faith to say that there's a possibility of life outside of us.
Actually, it's funny you should say that. I posted that as a question on my Facebook page, like maybe 5 years ago, where I actually asked, the question I was asking was, if we were to discover that aliens existed, would that, I guess I said, would that for you, like the general you, would that strengthen or weaken your belief in God?
Interesting.
Right? Because that's a very deep philosophical question because, you know, if there's a creator and some kind of stuff and who says that this creator is limited to one planet, but at the same time, it's like, if you're someone who believes in like, you know, you know, like strict creationism or something like this, well, that might turn you on your ear a little bit, right? So it's just a very, when you talk about like belief systems, it's like, again, one of the reasons why it's almost like I've come to, you know, identify as agnostic is because to me, I'm like, I am the kind of person where I think that the only rational, people think of rational, if people think atheism is rational, I think that the only rational thought process, if you're going to be strictly on rationality, is to just be like, you don't know. And it's arrogant to say you do in a strange way, in any direction. No offense, Pastor. I'm not saying
none taken. None taken at all. No, that's a totally reasonable argument and rational. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation when you start delving into this, because this idea in any level, that this idea that there is some world outside of the world of our knowledge is both entirely rational, because that's and at the same time opens up so many possibilities. Right. But it also can be a nerve-wracking thing, because like you said, there are so many things you just can't know.
That's right.
I mean, if it were me and you asked me that question, I would say it wouldn't bother my belief in God at all. It wouldn't threaten. Right. It would be a threat. But it is fascinating. It's so open. And you know, actually, given that, here's a question too. What is it about the paranormal that keeps bringing us back? Why is that such a draw for us to engage in conversation? Why do you think?
I think we touched a little bit on it in that I think – regardless of, well, I shouldn't say every person, but I think many people who live really enjoy the idea of being alive, right? All we know is existence, right? We don't know non-existence. So I think the idea of the paranormal, again, gives us hope, but that there is something beyond, for sure. Yeah. But also, you know, whether it's on a conscious level or a subconscious level, I do really believe that thinking that there is something beyond our own knowledge is extremely exciting. It's frightening, but it's extremely exciting to think that, like, we are part of a much bigger picture. You know, we don't just wake up and make money and go to work and spend money and try to fill time until it's over, you know? It's actually something where, you know, where there's a lot of hope and excitement that comes out of the existence of the paranormal. Now, of course, if you go into history, of course, you know, you could talk a lot about just explaining how things happened. Mm. You know, if you don't have, actually, I saw a really great meme talking about conspiracy theories, where it's like, it's very easy to believe in conspiracy theories where you don't know how anything works. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Very, very,
very interesting.
And it's almost the same thing. It's very easy to believe in, like, I was just on an interview with some people from Alter, actually, and I was being told about this belief in this spirit in the Philippines that, like, steals babies, right? Basically explaining miscarriages or whatever, right? So it's like, it's very easy to believe in this thing when you don't know what causes a miscarriage, for instance, you know? So, I mean, I hope this is a good enough answer. What I'm trying to do is avoid trying to sound profound, you know? What I'm trying to do is actually just, you know, answer the question there. But I think that, you know, and also forget the philosophical side. Really even talking about the interest in the paranormal, so where else do we really get a chance to really imagine, you know? Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it also is just kind of fun to think of things that you've never encountered, right? You know, people don't, now this is going to sound very self-important as a writer, but it's like one of the things I get really excited by is like when I hear someone say something that I wrote, I'm like, that didn't exist before. I actually made that, you know? And I think part of coming up with also a paranormal theory is like, or coming up with a creature or believing that sort of thing is like, you get a level also of ownership on something in the world that wasn't just presented to you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. There's a certain joy in creating something in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I've ever heard someone else say my lines, I was 22 years old or something like that. It was the most incredible feeling in the world. Like, I felt like, hey, like a god. I mean, that sounds very like, that's very, very, you know, if you could not, you know, and that's so, it sounds very self-serving, but it is weird. You made something out of nothing. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. You know, that's really cool. And like I said, I was saying to you before, Nicholas, the series is a blast. It's so much fun.
What's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode.
Or what's your favorite, like, or surprising or something? But like,
I really like the zombie picnic episode. That one to me was was really great. I actually really liked how you ended it, and just how the season ends. Where, I mean, of course, there's the cliffhanger of what happened with the group, but even with what happens with Olivia, where you just feel like Olivia, just the weight falls on her shoulders all over again. I thought that was pretty, pretty great. And the blockbuster episode, like you said, episode 5, that was pretty fascinating. I like how you see, again, you talk about using paranormal even as a writing metaphor. It gives you, it becomes almost a safer space to talk about bigger issues. Same with science fiction.
For sure.
That there were moments of that within the series that I thought were pretty good.
I'm always interested because we tried also quite consciously to sort of like not change genres throughout, but like, you know, we made bottle episodes where like, you know, this one can be a little sillier and this one can be a little bit deeper. And this one can, we tried to actually, you know, not serve everyone, but also kind of like go down a road. Like we were trying not to cut off our own inspiration. You know, it's like if we felt like it was this was a good opportunity to explore something, we thought it was kind of fun. And, you know, and in the that episode, when you talk about the blockbuster episode, it's like we actually were talking about, you know, again, all these ghost stories and all that kind of stuff. They're always like, you know, young girls or something like this, whatever. We actually thought to ourselves, like, what happens if you know, it was actually that whole episode was kind of born out of the idea of like, if you die in a wheelchair, do you have a wheelchair in the afterlife? Mm. That was the whole kind of like joke, you know? Yeah. And then kind of got pursued that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, one of the things with the world being so open, you know, I know that the talk is monster of the week. I also thought that it's one of those things because the tropes are all there. You can revisit the same thing. It's not like you have to have one zombie episode and then come back, because you can tell your story differently in different ways, but you're not locked in. You know, Walking Dead has to do it a certain way per se, because that is a zombie world, but you've created an opportunity. And that's why I think, I actually think it falls so much on the characters in this one, because it's more about them throughout them rather than what's the monster this week. It's sort of, how does the monster affect their relationships? And I thought that was really effective.
Thank you. Yeah. We did really think a lot about it. Like, we actually, every time we try to explain to somebody, we do call it a workplace comedy, right? It's like, it just happens to be that where they work has a pretty extreme sort of context. But the thing is that, yeah, that was, you know, it was a thing that we definitely discussed. We're like, how does it show how sustainability, right? And it is about the people. And actually, it's funny you say that, because it is such a short season, it's only the 8 episodes, but we actually had some pretty big talks about like, well, these characters are actually quite changed forever. You know, because we started talking about that too. Like, if you were to meet a Sasquatch, if you were a non-believer and suddenly encountered a ghost, you know, it's like, you're not going to be the same person. You can't go back to who you were the day before. You know, it's like, now think about something similar. If you were mugged, you'd be a different person. You know, like, never, you know, it's like, it's that. So we really did concentrate on that. And then we actually think that's the thing that's going to, and again, creates more opportunities too, where instead of trying to keep everybody in a bubble, we're like, okay, so now, I don't want to spoil too much, but you know, there's a definite like body dismemberment issue in episode 6, you know, how is that guy going to respond to this now for the rest of time, right?
Yeah.
It can't be undone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that begs the question, Nicholas, as we start to wrap up here, what do you got for season 2? I assume there's going to be one, because now the way that season 1 ends, that I'm hoping that there will be a next chapter.
Well, right now we have a solid yellow light on a second season. You know, I'll let you know as soon as we know it's going to happen for sure. But David, Michelle, and I have been sitting here and really talk about where to go. You know, we've discussed, we've definitely we've definitely discussed like the possibility of like, you know, I don't know if I have to explain it this way, but like we've discussed, you know, obviously at the end of the show, hopefully when people read this, they'll have seen the whole thing. At the end of the show, when they get carted off to prison or whatever, we're like, do we set an entire season in like a haunted prison, you know? Do we set an entire, you know, that sort of situation? Yeah. Or is it that, you know, perhaps that like now that we've been put away, there's like, you know, monsters everywhere. And it's like, you know, we need to be, you know, taken out of prison to come save the town, you know, that sort of thing. But we definitely, so less about the actual settings for the episodes, but we've worked quite a bit on the character trajectories and like how this like tumultuous few weeks in their lives are going to change where they go for the future. But to answer one last little bit, to add one little bit, I think we're going to try to, without appropriating other cultures, we're going to try to stem a little bit out of the North American lore and try to get a little bit more world lore into the mix, because I think that, you know, we've all seen werewolves, we've all seen zombies, we've seen all that, but there are so many interesting creatures from different cultures that I really think would be really interesting to explore.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, Nicholas, thank you so much. It's a lot of fun, and I wish you the best with it.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been a really good conversation.
Cool. All right. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, man. Yeah, have a good day. Bye.